Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory which overcometh the world, our faith. Words, my friends in Christ, taken from the epistle for today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. As a constant and veteran air traveler, I always follow stories about air travel, and one in the New York Times this past week caught my eye. There was a flight going to Israel, and there was a delay. It was delayed for a very unusual reason, and one that I had never encountered before. It seems that there was a businesswoman going to Israel who was seated in an aisle seat, and a Orthodox Jew, dressed as such, with a black hat and the ringlets, etc., and the long black coat, apparently had been assigned to sit next to her in the window seat. But this is something he didn't want to do. So a stewardess was summoned, and he gave the reason as this, that, well, the principles of my religion forbid me to sit next to a woman who is not my wife. So could you please make other arrangements? So there was some discussion back and forth, and eventually people were reseated to accommodate his wish. And naturally, the reaction of the businesswoman was a typical reaction of a secular, that, well, this is sexist and patriarchal and offensive to my dignity, and so on. That one would expect. But as I thought about this, it occurred to me that there are a number of lessons that we could draw from such an incident. This guy, obviously, was very serious about the practice of his religion, even though it's a false religion, even though it's the wrong religion. And he was willing to stand up for the principles of his religion, to see that he did not violate them. So you're serious, and then, as well, the comment in the article from the businesswoman shows the incomprehension of someone who does not have any sort of religious faith as regards someone who does. From this, we can look at the epistle for today's Mass from St. John. He talks about the faith that overcomes the world, that overcomes the world. From the beginning of the Christian religion, there was seen to be an opposition between the Spirit of Christ and the spirit of the world. There's a very consistent theme in Christian teaching throughout the ages. St. Augustine talks about the two cities. St. John speaks of the faith that overcomes the world. And by world, he means the forces of evil which are opposed to Christ. So there are two separate spirits, two separate sets of principles. And in the time of St. John, it was the paganism, the Greek and the Roman paganism, the superstition of the other religions of the Middle East, and then the superstition and the unbelief of the Jews who would not follow Christ, who expected a worldly Messiah. So there are two different things at play here. Such it always was in the church, the idea that we cannot surrender to the world. That, of course, until the Second Vatican Council occurred in the 1960s, where we were told to break down the walls, to open the windows and open the doors, and supposedly the world would convert to the Christian faith. And of course, we know 50 years later, after Vatican II, that it did not work. In fact, our faith ended up being corrupted in the hearts of countless millions of people, Catholic faith and Catholic morality becoming inundated and suffused with the spirit of the world. There has always, I suppose, been some sort of a temptation among those who seek to practice the Catholic faith to flee from the cities, to go out into the country, perhaps, to make, as it were, a little a convent or a little community of their own. But historically, that while that was true for those who wished to achieve a special mode of sanctification through the monastic, through the religious life, that was not the vocation of the majority of Christians. The general principle, which perhaps has been preached from this pulpit many times, is that we are in the world, but not of it. In the world, but not of it. So there has to be this internal separation, this detachment on the part of the Christian from the spirit of the world. It was hard to achieve. It was difficult for the early Christians, certainly, and their triumph indeed was a moral miracle. There's tremendous pressure against them to conform to the Roman religions and to Roman societal practices. A big part of Roman society was the baths. And the baths were a social phenomenon, a social gathering area, and they were often places of immorality. And so the Christians had to be on their guard. So too, we have in our own society, our own sort of baths, as it were, in the culture of the internet. But we have to do as the early Christians did, that we have to overcome vices with virtues. And this is frequently a long process. 2 points, briefly, I would like you to concentrate on today. First of all, perspectives and principles, and secondly, firmness in practice. Perspectives and principles. You have to understand and acknowledge that there is a fundamental opposition between our religion and the spirit of the world. We hear a lot about identity politics in our own day. Your identity is supposed to be that of a faithful Catholic. Everything else in your life has to take second place to that. You follow our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When I was growing up, this was drummed into us, that above all, you were a Catholic, and you had to judge what went on around you by Catholic standards and act and react accordingly. There is a separation here, and this is how you judge what is around you. You have to be a realist. There's an opposition between your faith and the spirit of the world, in terms of the material order, in terms of the purpose of life, the concepts that we use to make sense of what goes around us. That doesn't mean that we should disdain or hate others who do not have the true faith, but there has to be this fundamental understanding that we have to have as Catholics. Secondly, the firmness and patience in practice. If we understand what the principles are, then we need to apply them. we have to realize that for the most part for us, it is going to be in the little battles of daily life that you're going to apply the principles of your faith, time and time again. There won't be something big and dramatic, chances are, as you'd find in the lives of the great saints and the great martyrs. There's not going to be some sort of a dramatic moment for you, but rather it's those day-to-day practices in your school, in your workplace, in the people you socialize with, in what you do for your recreation. So in all of these things, there will be a series of little battles, and you have to look to what you're going to do in terms of the principles of your faith. We very much had the idea that we were part of the church militant. The church consisted, the catechism tells us, or consists of the church triumphant in heaven, the church suffering in purgatory, and those of us on earth are supposed to be the church militant, the soldiers of Christ, who are seeking this victory over the world. That, of course, went out with the Second Vatican Council as well. You don't have the idea of the church being militant, and in fact, the notion of triumphalism, the eventual triumph, the victory of the Catholic faith, was something that was explicitly rejected after the Second Vatican Council. The notion of triumph, the notion of militancy, has a bad connotation to it. Why? Well, because Vatican II has told us that one religion is as good as another. That, of course, is very much the spirit of the world. That's why, for instance, you have this incomprehending, thickness and stupidity that you find in Europe and the United States when faced with the phenomenon of Islam, the denunciation of so-called Islamic militants. Well, they're just following the principles of the religion. And it's hard for someone who has the spirit of the world to understand that there are people who do not believe that one religion is as good as another, and who believe that religion is not something that is simply practiced privately, but is that it's supposed to be put into practice in your daily lives. So you see that the corruption very much of the culture of Europe, the godless culture of Europe, people who whose lives are self-directed, materialist, and they eventually fall into a sort of nihilism where there are no values, and this becomes very saddening and depressing for people. It produces the fellow like the suicidal airline pilot, that he's a successful person in, say, in terms of the values of the world. He achieved what he wanted as far as having a good job, a respected position, etc. But it was something that was empty for him, because the whole society around him, the whole secular society, has no spiritual values. So you, when faced with this, you have to have a firmness and a militancy as far as your perspective and as far as your practice of the faith. It's something that you have to examine your conscience on time and time again. At the end of the day, when you make your examination of conscience, as you should, before you go to sleep at night, you look back over the events of the day, and you ask yourself the question, how have I lived and how have I put into practice during this day the principles of my Catholic faith? What could I have done better? And what will I try to do better tomorrow to ensure that in the world and in my own life as well, my Catholic faith represents that victory that will overcome the world. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.